Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. The time is 9 a.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this morning, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Majority Leader Machicki.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Good morning.
On today's agenda, we have SB 9, Military Facility Zones, and SB 14, Transportation Network Companies. The first item before the committee today will be SB 9, Military Facility Zones. If there is no objections, the goal of the chairman today is to move that from committee and to the Rules Committee for consideration of the majority, or consideration of the Senate. If I could invite Chad Hutchinson, staff to Senator Coghill to the table. Mr. Hutchinson, do you have, if you could tell the people of Alaska what the bill does, what it's trying to accomplish briefly, and then I'll open it up for any closing questions from senators.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Chad Hutchinson. I'm staff for Senator John Coghill in Fairbanks and North Pole. Briefly, SB 9 is about maximizing the benefit to Alaskans, particularly in areas surrounding military installations. It's about creating an easier process to get military facility zone designations from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs by making it easier for local municipalities and boroughs to have a quicker application process. Military facility zones are important because it allows for lower interest rates, credits, property reclassifications, as long as the underlying interest supports the military mission on the military installation. They're found throughout the lower 48. They are beneficial for both the military base, number one, number two, the local community, and number three, the state government, and that's all beneficial for our national security and for the military mission. Thank you.
Are there questions from senators? Senator Bishop.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I move the Senate Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 9, version 30-LS0183/J from committee with the attached zero physical note in committee recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill Number 9, Finance, /J, moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the documents. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. The next item before the committee is the CS for Senate Bill Number 14, Labor and Commerce. It's an act relating to transportation network companies and transportation network company drivers. The public hearing was opened and closed on Monday, February 13, 2017. I do see that we have one person from the general public that would still like to testify, so I'd like to reopen the public hearing. With that, the public hearing is open again on the CS for Senate Bill 14. James Harris.
Hello?
Hello, James. Welcome to Senate Finance.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
If you'd identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
My name is James Harris. I live in Juneau, Alaska, and I am the owner of Juneau Taxi.
Please proceed.
So I would like to start out by, first of all, thanking you for hearing me. I just found out about this morning. So my biggest concern here is that, well, I have several. One is that anywhere these ride-sharing companies go, whether it's Uber or Lyft or any of the others, it tends to drive down wages. So there's only a certain pool of customers in each community, and we're already not very busy. And then you add several drivers, you know, possibly 20, 30, 40, 50 drivers to that, going after those same customers, it drives down the wages for the drivers. So their drivers would get less, our drivers would get less, and then before you know it, and this is well documented, these guys are making minimum wage. It's very well documented that Uber drivers in most communities make about minimum wage. I don't understand why the state's worrying about bringing somebody in that's not going to pay any money to the state. They're not going to pay for any employees. They've already expressed that everywhere that they've gone, that these are not employees, when in fact they are. They're getting a certain percentage of their fares. And I know this would change that. But at this point, they've already admitted that these people in the state's eye are, these drivers would be employees at this point right now. And then the state, if the state does change that, all they're doing is making it easier for a company that comes in that doesn't pay anything to the state to start taking more money from the people that live here, the people that have been working, the people who have been doing this for years and years and years that do pay money to the state. And by doing that, obviously, it will drive down wages. It'll drive down the amount of money the state gets from cab companies because they'll have to cut back. They won't have as many phone people. They won't have as many dispatchers. All these things take go into account when you have what they call a technology company, which is actually a taxi company that doesn't have to play by any of our rules. We have to spend a ton of money every year to go by these rules. We have to have contracts with all of our drivers. We have to buy special insurance for these vehicles. We have to pay extra at the DMV to register these vehicles commercially, which I'm assuming that Uber drivers wouldn't because they're their personal vehicles, so they're not going to register them as commercial vehicles. That's even more money that the state loses. This is just going to be an ongoing thing that everybody around is going to start losing money except Uber. It does no good to anybody to bring them in here. It does not do anything for the industry except slow it down and make it to where the industry does not is not able to buy better vehicles, to buy nicer vehicles, to have better service. It's all going to be about who can get there the fastest. And that doesn't even take into account what Uber does to their customers. Price surging. You can read all over the internet that customers are paying 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 times what they would normally pay during a busy time. I live in Juneau. Every time, and I'm assuming, I can't be 100% correct, but I'm assuming that from what I understand from Uber's website, when it's busy and there's a high demand for their service, their price goes up. So every time a cruise ship landed in Juneau, their prices would go up all day. Every customer that got off the ship would be charged price surging. They'd be charged way more than they would in a taxi, and they're not even going to know it. They're not going to know it until they get there. You've heard these horror stories, or at least I have, of people that have paid $400, $500, and $600 during a snowstorm for an Uber X. And they don't even know until the next day.
James?
Yes.
James, your time was up some time ago. Can I see if there's questions from committee members? Are there questions of committee members? James, a closing comment?
I would ask this committee to reconsider or to consider not allowing state law to be changed to help a company that's not going to pay anything here. They're a $1 billion corporation. You've already added, or you haven't, the city has already added a lot of permits in Anchorage even. And then to allow more Ubers, which is going to destroy the transportation business in Anchorage. It's going to destroy it. They've already allowed a bunch more permits for taxis.
James.
And then to allow Uber at the same time, these wages for these people, they're not going to be able to support their families.
Thank you for
testifying,
James. The next person online to testify is Sam Moore. Sam?
Good morning, Senate Finance. Thank you all for taking testimony. I just want to, first of all, I'm speaking in favor of SB 14. I would like to see more mobility options. For those of you who don't know, I'm legally blind, and I use People Mover here in town. I use taxis all over the state. I've used, Uber throughout the lower 48. But to be clear, this bill is not specifically about Uber. It's not about Lyft. It's about providing more mobility options and giving more people the opportunity not only to be entrepreneurs and make some money on the side, but for people like me to have an easier way of getting to work or getting wherever I need to go. I believe this committee, last time you guys took testimony on this, someone mentioned that they didn't really see any economic opportunity or economic activity being generated. And I just want to say that if it's easier and safer for someone to get downtown on a given Friday night, they're more likely to do so and to generate economic, activity. In reply to the last caller, this is not about taxis. This is just simply about more mobility options, and this will make Anchorage a more vibrant, livable, walkable community. So I urge you all to vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Are there questions from committee members? Is there anyone else left online to testify? Anyone here in Juneau? With that, the public hearing is closed on SB 14. Senators, I am trying to meet with the Department of Law on the fiscal note. This bill does not address taxi cabs. It is a transportation network bill. Ride sharers are independent contractors. They drive their own vehicle. They use their own phone. They have no scheduled shifts. They have no direct supervisor. We will be answering questions related to the bill. If there are other questions, please bring them to my office so that I can make sure that they can be adequately answered. But I'll set this bill aside now so that we can work on the fiscal issue that was brought to us before for $200,000 and in working towards either using receipt income to support that if the state needs to hire someone to somehow manage under this bill, or if it can be managed differently without an additional cost to the state.
Brief Denise.
We're back on the record. Senator Bishop noted Department of Commerce. Department of Commerce will be included in that meeting, but Department of Law will also be there, as well as the Department of Administration, to understand why the fiscal note is as it was presented to the Senate Finance Committee on Monday. Anything else to come before the committee? With that, we're adjourned.